Okay, let's finish up the Bnei Banim Arayim Kebanim Sugya, and specifically, I wanted to talk today a little bit more about the covenant of a grandparent, and then move on to maybe some of the other issues that relate to Bnei Banim Arayim Kebanim. So first on the covenant issue. We mentioned, of course, the machlokas between the Ma'arik and the Ramah, where the Ma'arik says that there's no chiv to be mechabit a grandparent. The Ramah says there is a chiv, it's just not the same chiv as a parent. And then we mentioned yesterday what emerges from the Maram Shik's analysis is that there are, and the Yadavrad, is that there are three fundamental possibilities as to if you hold like the Ramah that there is a chiv, what is that chiv? What is the nature of that chiv? We had the possibility that the nature of the chiyuv is that when you're nice to your grandparents, it makes your parents happy. So it's just a form of kibarav. If you call your grandparents before Shabbos, there's no one happier than your parents that you're doing that. It makes them very happy that that you're honoring your grandparents. So it could just be a form of kibarav. We had the possibility that maybe that, like the Maram Shik said, that was the Chulam Mishulash, who was that? The Chulam Mishulash. Then we had the possibility that maybe the Maram Shik said, it's a din in Chatzi Shir of Kibarav, was his lashon, that it's why do you have to honor your parents? Because you are here, you exist because of them, so you exist partially because of your grandparents also. Half as much, each of your parents is responsible for 50% of you, each of your grandparents is responsible for 25% of you, but so it's a Chatzi Shir of Kibarav. And then we had a third possibility, from based on the Yadavran, that it only applies to a paternal grandfather, not a maternal grandfather. We thought maybe it was a din in Mesorah, a din in Mesiras HaTorah. The Mesiras HaTorah only works through the males, so therefore maybe the chiyuv of honoring grandparents would only apply to the males. Another nafkamina might be, does a granddaughter have to honor her grandparents? If it's about Mesiras HaTorah, maybe not, because she's not chayv in Talmud Torah. But for the other two reasons, certainly yes. So these are the different possibilities. Now, the Tshuva Me'ava, anyone know who the Tshuva Me'ava was? Tshuva Me'ava was the prime student of the Nodeb Yehuda. He was probably the most well-known student of Nodeb Yehuda. Tshuva Me'ava points out that there is a Gemara in Kiddushin, a fairly well-known Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that tells us that a ben almana, son of an almana, asked Rabbi Elazar, Abba Omer Hashkeni Mayim, V'ima Omer Hashkeni Mayim. What do you do if both mom and dad ask you for a glass of water at the same time? Which one comes first? So he said, which one comes first? You listen to your father first. Why? Sha'at avimcha chayavim b'kvod avicha. Because both you and your mother are both chayiv in the covenant of your father. So asks the Tshuva Me'ava, so why does the Ramah say that kavod of a grandfather exists, but kavod av comes before kavod of a grandfather? Shouldn't we say, based on that Gemara, that even if the chiyuv of Kavod Av is a more intense chiyuv, when they're both in front of you, Kavod of a grandfather comes first? Why? Why would Kavod of a grandfather come first? Because you have that same svara. You and your father are both chayiv in the Kavod of your grandfather. So the same reason you have to give your father before you give your mother is because Kavod Av, because your mother's chayiv in the covenant of your father also. So you should have to give your grandfather before your father, because your father's also chayiv in the covenant of your grandfather. Not only that, even if it's your maternal grandfather and your father, we should still say the covenant of the grandfather comes first. Because Allah and Shulchan Aruch is one has to honor his father-in-law. So your father has to honor your mom's father. He has a chiyuv to honor. A lot of people don't realize that or realize it and don't like it. There is a chiyuv to honor one's in-laws. It's an absolute pasuk in Shulchan Aruch. When is a chiyuv to honor one's in-laws? So it should. So ask the Tshuva Me'ava, why don't we say that the cover of the grandfather therefore comes first? So based on that, the Tshuva Me'ava says the Ramah must be wrong. There must not be a chiyuv of cover of a grandfather. The Ma'arik must be right. Because if there were a chiyuv of cover of grandfather, that chiyuv should, by definition, supersede the chiyuv of honoring a father. A wild idea. Now, the Rav Asher Weiss suggests the following mahalich to answer for the Ramah. Right? You hear the kasha of the Ramah. The Ramah says there is a chiyuv to honor the grandfather, but the chiyuv to honor the father comes first. So it says Tshuva Me'ava, if there were a chiyuv to honor the grandfather, it would not play second fiddle to the chiyuv to a father. It would have to come before the chiyuv to a father because both you and the father are chayiv in the honor of the grandfather. Whereas if there's no chiyuv to honor the grandfather, then they understand very well that you'll give your father water before you give your grandfather, because you can't say that svara of atav avicha chayim v'kvoda. Your father's chayiv in his honor, but it's not you. The whole svara was atav avicha, both you and your father are chayiv in the kavod. So that would be a very good application over here. Now, there is a chiv to honor a stepfather also, right? The Gemara darshans from extra words in the Pesukim, Kavidus Avichav, every S and the Vavs, and that you have to honor a big brother, and you have to honor a stepfather and a stepmother. So there's a chiv to honor a stepfather, and the mother's chiv to honor him because he's her husband. So l'chari, you should say the same svara. Unless the baseline of any chiv of that whole svara, that since your mom has to honor him, you have to honor him too, is assuming the chiv starts the same. That your mom and your dad, you have the same chiv toward. So what will tip the scales is that your mom has to honor your dad. But your mom and your stepfather is not the same chiv. You have a chiv to honor him, but it's not the same. It's not a mother. And the same is true with the grandfather. Your parents and your grandparents may not start the same, so it may not tip the scales. Meaning the pashtus is that the answer to the Tshuva Me'avah's question is, when do we say that you have a chiyuv to honor your... When do we say that the father takes precedence over the mother since the mother has a chiyuv to honor him also? That's only because it started as the same chiyuv. You have the same chiyuv toward your mother as you do toward your father. But when you're dealing with your father versus your grandfather, the starting point is not the same chiyuv. And if the starting point is not the same chiyuv, the fact that your father has to honor your grandfather is not going to tip the scales. Rav Asher essentially says that, but with a little more flair. The way he says it is as follows. He says, Yesh lachkor. One could debate and come up with the following chakira. When the Gemara says that you and your mother are chayiv in the cover of your father, and that's why you give your father first, is that saying that the reason you have to give the father first is because your mother is also chayiv in the honor? But really, the chiyuv of the father, your chiyuv toward your father, your chiyuv toward the mother are exactly the same. It's just that a svara to give it to your father first, since practically you have to solve this issue, is that your mother has to honor him also. Or maybe no. Maybe you could say it's a raya. From the fact that your mother has to honor him, that shows that of the two mitzvahs, kibud av and kibud aim, kibud av must be a greater mitzvah. Again, two possibilities. Either kibud av and kibud aim are exactly equal mitzvahs, but you have a practical issue on your hands. You need to figure out who to give the water to. So, since your mother has to honor your father, that's a svara to tell you to take care of your father first. But kibud av and kibud aim are exactly the same. Or you could say, no, the very fact that your mother has a chiyuv to honor your father tells you that kibud av is a greater mitzvah than kibud aim. Which one is correct? Which one of these formulations are correct? So he says it's a davar pashut that the first formulation is correct. That kibud av and kibud aim are equal mitzvahs. And it's not that kibud av, that it's megala to us. The fact that your mother honors your father is megalitas, a kibud av is a greater mitzvah. He says, I have three proofs that it's correct. He says, first of all, the Gemara in Krisus and Av Chav Ches tells us, Ha'av kodem la'im b'kol makom, that a father comes before a mother always. Yachl m'nei she'kavod av adif al kavod aim. You might think it's because kavod of a father beats out kavod of a mother. Tamal omar, that's why the Pasuk says, Ish imov av tiro, melamit she'shneim shkulin. Mar says explicitly in Krisus, they're equal. But the Chum say, Av kodem b'kol makom, because your mother's also chayiv. So you see, it says beferish, shneim shkulim, that they're equal. So that's raya number one. That it's not just that the fact that your mother has to honor your father is megala to us, that the chiyuv for cover for your father is greater. It's not. They're 100% equal. Also, the Gemara discusses, second raya, Gemara discusses Maseches Kedushin, what if the parents are divorced? And they both ask for a cup of water. If mother's chiyuv to honor the father were just a giloy milsa and a raya, that kibud av is a greater mitzvah than kibud aim, well then even if they're divorced, kibbutz should be a greater mitzvah than kibbutz. It's not about the fact that practically your mother has to honor your father. It's about the fact that since generally a wife has to honor a husband, that's megala, the kibbutz is a greater mitzvah. Well, then even if they were divorced, it should be the same. But it's you should have to honor the father. But that's not true. The Gemara says if they're divorced, then they go back to being even. Why do they go back to being even? Because fundamentally they are even. It's just when you need to do one thing and you need to make a decision, the best way to make that decision is by relying on the fact that the mother has to honor the father. That is Raya number two. Raya number three, he says, is Misvara. A woman has to honor her husband. Is that Midin Kibrav that a woman has to honor her husband? Is that a Din of Kibrav? Absolutely not. How do I know it's not? Because he's not, hopefully, her father, right? So it's not Midin Kibrav, it's Din of Kavrabah. So you can't use that as a raya that Kavrav is greater than Kavrain. If the mother's chiyuv toward the husband was Mishum Kibrav, that would be a raya that kibbutz is greater than kibbutz, because atav imcha chayavim bekibbutz. You're both chayav in that kibbutz. But since her chiyuv has nothing to do with kibbutz, her chiyuv is a separate chiyuv of kavod, it must be that it's just a hanhaga. You need to know what to do. So this is a hanhaga. This is how you handle the situation. But fundamentally, kibbutz and kibbutz are the same. That's what he says, three clear rayas. And I think that's glot. I think there's not, that's not really debatable. Right? That the fundamentally, in the mitzvah of kibbutz, I don't even know why he needs three rayas. The Gemara in Kiddushin is all you need. The Gemara that says if they're divorced, they're the same. Okay? What else do you need? The Gemara in Kriis is alone also. Like any of these, you don't need, certainly you don't need three rayas. But he says, that's only when it's kibbutz ve'eim. But let's say, Gemara in Kriis says, kavod rabo comes before kavod of your father. Why? Because atava avichin va'avicha chayavim b'kavod rabcha. That you and your father are both chayav in the cover of your Rebbe. Really? My father has to honor my Rebbe? Why should my father have to honor my Rebbe? Who should my father have to honor? His Rebbe. If my Rebbe's not his Rebbe, how do we say such a svara? You have an option, your Rebbe or your father, so honor your Rebbe first, because you and your father are both chayav in the honor of your Rebbe. Sounds like the father's chayiv in the honor of the son's Rebbe. But why? So he says it must be that it's not the svar of atav avicha chayiv mekvodo in the practical sense. That your father has to practically honor your Rebbe, because he doesn't. In that case, what we must be saying is that kavo talmud chacham is an inyan that's a greater inyan than kibbutz. Kavo rabo, I should say, is an inyan that's a greater mitzvah than kibbutz. How do I know that? Because all the fathers of the world, all of us who belong to the fathers' society, right, all the fathers of the world are still chayiv to honor their Rebbe. It's not that your father is chayiv to honor your Rebbe. It's not about practically. Your father doesn't have to honor your Rebbe. But he's mechuyuv in kibbutz rav also. So since everyone is chayiv in kibbutz rav, the oldest man alive who doesn't have a father, if he has someone who teaches him Torah, is chayiv in kibbutz rav. Everyone is chayiv in kibbutz rav. It's a siman and a raya that kibbutz rav is greater than kibbutz rav. Because the father is also chayiv in kibbutz of his own Rebbe. So since both the father and the son are chayiv b'kavod rabba, I'm like the rest of the Jewish people, it's a raya that kavod rav is greater than kavod of an av. So he says it's amazing. The Gemara uses the same lashon, so it's so misleading. Because the Gemara says, when it comes to mother versus father, kibbutz av versus kibbutz eim, the reason you give the father first is because you and your mother are both chayiv in the kavod. When it comes to kibbutz rav versus kibbutz av, the reason you give the Rebbe first is because you and your father are both chayiv in the kavod. But those two things mean two totally different things. When it's father and mother, it means practically you both have to honor him, and therefore, since even though they're equal levels of kavod, since practically you both have to honor him, that's how to solve the dilemma that you find yourself in. Whereas when it comes to Rav versus Av, we're not saying practically, we're saying fundamentally, there's a greater chiyuv of kibbutz Rav than there is of kibbutz Av. He says, for example, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us, Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabo. Your father loses something, your Rebbe loses something. You can only hold one of them. You're only going to be able to do Hashavas Aveda on one of them. Avedas Rabo Kodemes. The Aveda of your Rebbe comes first. Why? So the Gemara says, because what did your father do? Your father brought you into this world. But your Rebbe brings you into Olam Abba. So your Rebbe did you a greater Tova than your father did you. So what do you see from there? That fundamentally, the Mechayev of Kavod HaRav is greater than the Mechayev of Kavod Av. Now obviously, if your father taught you Torah, then he's your Rebbe also, and then your father would come first. But fundamentally, the Mechayev of Kavod HaRav is greater than the Mechayev of Kavod HaAv. The Gemara in Yevamos says, yeah. Right, that would be enough, probably. He teaches him some Torah. I think that would be enough. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us, what about covet of your parents versus covet of God? No, which one wins? God wins, right? Your father says, be mechal Shabbos. You're allowed to say no. Someone just asked an interesting shaila related to our Tamin Halacha. My brother told me an 18-year-old girl in Northern California told him that her parents never vaccinated her as a kid, and because they're crazy, and she wants to know, she's now 18, she can choose to do it on her own, so she wants to know, and her parents will go nuts if they find out that she got vaccinated, and they will yell at her, and so she wants to know, A, can she do it against their will, and B, if she does, is she allowed to lie about it? She doesn't want to start a fight. So if you hold that it's a chiyuv, that it's a mitzvah, takanas chacham, like we were saying before, to do these kinds of healthy things, the parents don't have a right. The parents lose. God wins. How do we know God wins? What's the source that God wins over parents? So the Gemara says, kulchem chayavim bekvodi, Hashem says. You're all chayav in my honor, Hashem says. Oh, what do you see from there? That it's the same svara. Same story that we have mothers chayiv and fathers on. And that fathers chayiv and rebbe's on. Same svara. But which form of the svara are we using? Is it that fundamentally they're equal, you just need to know what to practically do, and therefore we say, okay, everyone's chayiv, like the mother and the father? Or is it saying, no, this is megala that fundamentally they're different chayuvim, like the rebbe and the father? That fundamentally the cover of a Rav is greater than the cover of a father, so this is saying fundamentally the cover of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is greater than the cover of a father. So Pashtus, this one is fundamentally that the cover of Hashem is a greater level of cover. Kulchem Chayavim Kvodi is clearly a Raya that cover of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a greater cover. So that's what Rav Asher says, that even though the Gemara uses, and it's a fascinating thing that you have in Torah Shebaal Peh sometimes, sometimes the same phrase will mean two totally different things in different places. Sometimes the same word means two totally different things in different places. So here you have the same svara, the same format of a svara, but it means two totally different things. When it's mother and father, it means that really they're equals, but you just have to figure out what to do, so we use this to tip the scales. But when it comes to Rebbe and a father, or God and a father, it's not that they're equals, it's that there is a higher level cover. He says, all of this is great, and I'm convinced that it's true, except it's against the Tosfos. Tosfos asks, why do I need a pasuk? That kibud avim is not tocha Shabbos. Tosfos asks in Yevamos, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that if your parents tell you to be mechal Shabbos, don't listen to them? Shouldn't we learn it from Atava Avicha Chaim B'Kavod HaMakom? Just the same svara we had in Maseches Kiddushin about a mother and a father? Shouldn't it be the same thing? And Tosfos answers that the svar of Kiddushin of Atavim Chayav Mikavod Av is derived from the dilemma of God versus your father. That why do you listen to God over your father? Because your father is also Chayav to honor God. That's how we know that when it's mother versus father, you listen to your father because your mother is Chayav in the covenant of your father. So Tosfos clearly rejects this whole analysis, because Tosfos is saying that they're mamish the same din, they're derived from the same pasuk. So you can't say that in the case of mother and father, fundamentally they're the same, and it's just that you have to figure out what to do. Whereas in the case of God and the Father, they're fundamentally different. You can't make that distinction, because Tosfos says they're all derived from the same pasuk. All these decisions are derived from the same pasuk. So that's a problem. Now, yeah.
If you're adopted, do you have the same? Is it the same level of kavod you have to give to your adopted parents?
It's not the same, but there's definitely a chiyuv kavod.
So therefore, if say your adopted father asks you for a cup of water, and then your real father asks you, then for sure,
probably have to give the real father. Yeah, even though. You may feel much more connected to the adopted father, right? But yeah, the chiv would be to the biological father. Now, says Rav Asher, but wait, maybe I'm misunderstanding this whole thing. Maybe there's a whole other way to explain this whole idea. That there's no reyasa b'mitzvahs kibra aim with regard to kibra. They're totally equal. Mitzvah kibra av, mitzvah kibra aim are exactly the same. The reason that you have to honor the father at the expense of the mother when they both ask for a cup of water, like the Gemara says, because your mother's chayiv in the kavod, maybe that's a specific din that Chazal were mechadesh, that since the mother is chayiv in the honor of the father, you have to take care of the father first. Meaning that it's only when both chiyuvim are equal that we would even resort to this svara. This svara of, oh, she's chayiv in his honor also, so you got to take care of him first, is only because they are already equal. But if they're not fundamentally equal, then we would never say this svara. So for example, like you were saying before, like Ali was saying before, if you have, let's say, your stepfather and your mother, they're not fundamentally equal. Your mother is a greater chayiv than your stepfather. So we wouldn't say, oh, since your mother's chayiv in his kavod, you have to give it. No, that's only when they start fundamentally equal. He says, I'll give you a raya. He says, I'll bring you a raya. Halach and Shulchan Aruch, you have to honor your father-in-law, right? How do we know it? Taz writes, we learn from David that he calls Shaul Chamav Avi. Shaul, his father-in-law, he calls Avi, he calls my father. He's not his father, he's father-in-law. You have to honor your father-in-law. And then the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a married woman is pater from Kibbut Aveim, because she's got to take care of her husband. Wait a second. If I have to honor my father-in-law, and my wife has to honor me, why is my wife pater from Kibbut Aveim? What does it mean it's pater from Kibbut Aveim? If I and my father-in-law both ask for a glass of water, that my wife has to get it for me before she gets it for my father-in-law, right? But if I have to honor my father-in-law, and the whole svara is that whenever the person you're honoring has to honor the person above him, that you gotta, you know, that person should take precedence. Shouldn't my wife have to honor my father-in-law before me? Elamai, what do you see? Why is that not the case? Why does she honor the husband before the father-in-law, before her father? Because it's not the same love. The chiv of kavod for the husband is not the same chiv as the chiv of kavod for her father. Now, the Pesachei Tshuva, because he was so bothered by that kasha, says, must be that there's no chiv to honor a father-in-law. Otherwise, the whole system's messed up. But no, you could say that there is a chiyuv to honor the father-in-law. And the answer to the kasha is that the wife honors the husband because it's not the same level chiyuv. Furthermore, mitzvah lisa bas achosa is a mitzvah to marry your sister's daughter, your niece. And the Rashbam writes, and also your brother's daughter. Meaning, mitzvah to take care of family. Used to be getting married to someone meant that they were supported for the rest of life, that the girl was going to be supported for the rest of life. Shidduch crisis. Your niece is not going to have to worry about a shidduch crisis because uncle's taking care of her. He's going to marry her. So, one second. If I marry my oldest brother's daughter, right? A man marries his oldest brother's daughter. Achiv agadol, he has a chiyuv to honor, right? So he's your oldest brother, and he's also your, what else is he? Father-in-law. And still the woman is not chayiv to honor her father. She honors her husband over the father. But her husband is chayiv twice to honor her father. It's achav agadol and chamav. Yeah, but it's fundamentally a different chiyuv. And since it's fundamentally a different chiyuv, we don't go with this whole svar. So based on that, coming full circle, says Rav Asher Weiss, we can answer the kasha of the Tshuva Me'ava. Tshuva Me'ava asked, if you're going to say that there's a chiyuv to honor a grandfather, shouldn't that by definition take precedence over the chiyuv to honor a father? Because your father has to honor your grandfather. So says Tshuva Me'ava, says Rav Asher Weiss, no, it's not going to take precedence. You know why? Because that whole idea that he's chayav to honor him, so I better skip that, you know, honor the guy on top of the food chain, that's only if the two people that you have to honor are of equal chiyuv to begin with. Then you go to the top of the food chain. But if they are not of equal chiyuv to begin with, you don't go to the top of the food chain. Father and grandfather are not the same chiyuv, so you don't go to the top of the food chain. Good, that's Rav Asher Weiss's piece. Now, how did we get into this whole thing of grandparents? We're learning Maseches Makos. It's always good to remind ourselves. We're learning Maseches Makos this year. Dav Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So what was the discussion about with grandparents? What was the whole raya? Gol Adam. That a grandson, the Gemara said, could be a Gol Adam against the grandfather, but a son cannot be a Gol Adam against the father. Or so we thought that's what the Gemara said. The Gemara never actually said that explicitly. What the Gemara actually said was, there are two brises. One brisa says, you can be a Goel Adam when a father kills, and the other brisa says, you cannot be a Goel Adam when a father kills. What do we do to reconcile those two brises? Habibno, Habibenbino. One is talking about a son, one is talking about a grandson. So we thought that meant, and we've been assuming, and the reason we had 3 days of shiur on this is because we assumed that meant, like Rashi says, that you can be a Goel Adam against your grandfather, but you can't be a Goel Adam against your father. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, yeah, you read the Gemara wrong. He says, that's not what's going on over here. Rabbeinu Chananel is in here somewhere also. It's source number something. Yeah, 25. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, says Rabbeinu Chananel, Tani Chada Av Shaharag Bino Nase Goel Adam. Vitanya, idach, it shouldn't be idach, it should be idach, it's my typo. Ein b'no nasa gol adam. So, stira b'raisos. Parkinon, the Gemara answers, ready for this? Im esav harag teman ben alifaz. When you give examples of this guy killed this guy stole money from this guy, what do we always do? In Shas and Rishonim, who are the most popular characters in any shir you've ever been to in your life? It's always Reuven and Shimon, right? Reuven and Shimon are Edim, and then Levi and Yehuda come. Yosef, sometimes we get a little more exciting, you know, Yosef ben Yamin. What's Rabbi Nachman doing? Esav, Eliphaz. Why is he doing this? Just parenthetically, why is he doing this? I think it's obvious why he's doing this. Because what are we talking about over here? Murder. We'd rather not say Reuven and Shimon are murderers. Let's keep it with Esav and Eliphaz. We'll keep it in the... It's just an example, but he'd rather pick an example that doesn't involve... It's like, you know, sometimes in Shir, I'll say the example like, so if you sleep with your mother, who's also your sister, who's also... maybe not you. maybe someone else. So, Im Esav harag teman ben Eliphaz. If Esav kills... What's he saying? His grandson... Eliphaz nasa gol adam shel bino shalom. When the Gemara says hab ben bino, you can be a gol adam. When it's a grandchild case, it doesn't mean that if your grandfather kills your father, you could be a gol adam to kill your grandfather. No. It means if the grandfather kills the grandson, the middle generation could be a gol adam against his own father. That's hab ben bino. Vahoreg. Esav aviv, and he can kill Esav his father. Aval im harag Esav Reuel bino shalo. But if Esav kills one of his own sons, the other son cannot kill the father to avenge his brother's death. You hear? It's all about a son killing his own father. So if you ask Rabbeinu Chananel, can a son be a gol adam against his father? The answer is depends. Depends whose blood he's avenging. If it's his own son's blood that he's avenging, yes. If it's his brother's blood that he's avenging, no. Why? What's the svara? We've been talking Medina Kibud. That's what we thought it was all about, right? That's what Rashi said. You don't have to have kavod for your grandfather, so you can do be a goldam against him. But you have to be mechabed your father. You can't be a goldam against him. If it's medina kibud, yeah. What's this all about? It's your father either way. Why does it matter? I think this is a fundamental insight into Rabbeinu Chananel's understanding of Goel Adam. Probably, yeah. So I think what Rabbeinu Chananel is doing over here is he's giving us an insight into how Goel Adam works a little bit. A mashal. There's a parsha in the Torah called Yifas Toar. What's Yifas Toar? You go out to war and you find a beautiful woman, and this is a known problem in armies Arayom, that when men go out to battle, testosterone is out of control. You're fighting, you're killing, out of control. And that's why there are so many sexual assaults in the army and things like that. People are in a different state of mind. And the Torah recognizes that different state of mind that a person's in, and the necessity to have out of control testosterone. And the Torah says, you see this beautiful woman, you will take her. Therefore, the Torah makes it mutter, because you're going to do it anyway. And the Torah gives guidelines of how to do it. You gotta wait, she has to be manuvelous a little bit. Gives guidelines. Now what's gonna be the result of that? Horrible things. You're gonna have Anisha Snua, you're gonna have Ben Saramora, horrible things. The Gemara Kedushin traces how it's gonna lead to terrible things. But you're allowed to do it. Why? Because the Torah recognizes that given your emotional state, you're gonna do this, you need to do this. Rabbeinu Chananel views Goel Adam not so much as how I'm relating to the murderer, but how deeply affected I am by the loss. If someone killed a person's child, they're going to react, and the Torah will give rules to that reaction. Can't touch them while they're in a near miklat, but they're going to react. And therefore, even if it's their own father, it's not about who you're killing. It's about who was killed. So if the person that was killed was a person's own child, he can kill anyone to avenge his child's blood. Because he's going to. That's the emotional state one is in when they lose a child. When they lose a sibling, they're very sad. And they may be angry, and they may be... And therefore, outside of the ear miklat, they're allowed to kill most people who would have killed their sibling, or would kill their sibling, but not their father. They can't kill their father who killed their sibling. The limitations are that much greater. Why are the limitations greater? Because the emotion's not the same. The emotion is not as raw. The idea of Goel Adam is a recognition of the rawness of the emotion of the family members. The emotions are most raw when it's a child that was lost. And therefore we give the most leeway when it's a child that was lost. Can even kill a father. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel seems to be understanding this Gemara. Now, with the remaining time, I want to talk a little bit about the other applications. Any questions on that? We good over there? Just the remaining applications, a couple of other slight applications of Bnei Banu Mareim, not slight, they're important applications of Bnei Banu Mareim Kabanim. So one is, let's see which one, Talmud Torah Puravu, what do you think? A preference? That's Puravu. Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Aleph talks a lot about Puravu, has some very interesting yisodos about Puravu. One of the basic yisodos Minchas Chinuch has in Mitzvah Aleph is, what is the nature of the Mitzvah Puravu? Is the nature of the Mitzvah Puravu to make children? Or is the Mitzvah Puravu to have children? The state of having kids. So, Minchas Chinuch has a big yesod that it's, like you said, having kids. It's not to make kids. The Maisa mitzvah is the making of the children. Meaning the Maisa is a Maisa Bia. But the Kiyuma mitzvah is having children in this world that you brought into this world. That's the Kiyum. So for example, let's say a person has a child who's a mamzer. He has kids in this world. But you're going to call it a Maisa mitzvah? His Maisa bia was obviously usher to create a mamzer. Okay, good. Maybe initial mitzvah babavera. But one might be able to, if the whole issue is making the kids, well then vada, he doesn't get the mitzvah of puravu when he sleeps with his sister and creates a mamzer. Or he sleeps with an eshes ish and creates a mamzer. Vadai. There's nothing to discuss. He did an avera. He didn't do a mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is the state of having kids, so then at least you could hear why there might be something to debate. Which anyway, we would probably still say mitzvah of avera, or like the Minchas Chinuch says, it can't be that bringing a mamzer into this world is a mitzvah. You did a terrible thing. You know, you did an awful thing to the kid. You did an awful thing to society. It can't be that's a mitzvah. So let's pick a different example. Different nafkamina. Most mitzvos, there's a birchas mitzvah before you do the mitzvah. Before one does the mitzvah sona, the mitzvah of sleeping with his wife, is there birchas mitzvah sher kishon mitzvah mitzvah and l'kayim mitzvahs pruravu? So there's not. Why not? It's a mitzvah being mekayim pruravu. Yeah, it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah is having the kids. The mitzvah is not mekuyim until 9 months later. The maisa mitzvah is happening right now. The kiyuma mitzvah is only 9 months later. Maybe, if she gets pregnant. And even then, it's only suffix. So if we're all about the maisa, so then maybe there should be a bracha. But since it's the state of having kids, so maybe you should make the bracha in the delivery room, right before the baby's born. No, but we always place the bracha right before a maisa mitzvah. It's just normally the maisa and the kiyum come together. You need the maisa and the kiyum in order to be able to say the bracha. So you can only say a bracha when there's a definitive kiyum, and you say the bracha before the maisa. Now, by most mitzvahs, there's nothing to talk about because the maisa and kiyum are the same. For example, you take lulav. What's the maisa mitzvah? Pick it up. What's the kiyum mitzvah? You picked it up. You got the kiyum. What's another example where a maisa is divorced from a kiyum? You can have a maisa without a kiyum. That they're separated from each other. So one intriguing possibility is Sfiras HaOmer. There are some Rishonim that hold that the kiyum mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is only on the last night once all 49 days are done. But we make 49 separate brachas in Sfiras HaOmer. Why are we making 49 separate brachas? One big mitzvah. No, it's one big kiyum mitzvah. It's 49 separate ma'ase mitzvah. So you make a bracha before each maisa for that one big kiyum mitzvah. The kiyum is definitely going to come if you keep making the brachas. It's definitely going to come. But the maisa mitzvah is divided into 49 parts. Now, if we have this hashkafa of puravu, it's about what you left here on this world. It's about if there are still kids walking around here. So based on that, the Gemara in Yevama says, and Michas Chinuch uses this as one of the rayas, if Rachmana Litzlan, a person's children die, so the halacha is he has to replenish. Gotta have more kids. Because it's not the fact that you once had children that's the mitzvah of puravu. Like, let's say I take lulav on Sukkot, and then my lulav breaks or becomes pasul or gets destroyed after I take lulav. Do I now have to take lulav again? No. I did the mitzvah already. It's over. But if you have kids, and then Rachmana Litzlan, the person's kids die, do you have to have kids again? Yes! Why? Because the mitzvah is not the act of making children. The mitzvah is having people on this earth as a result of you. What the Gemara says, Lo sheves yitzara ba'inan, Vahaleka. Now the Gemara raised another intriguing possibility. What would be the svara to say that the mitzvah is? I just need to stand for a second. What would be the mitzvah to say, the svara to say that the mitzvah is to make the kids? I mean, what's the point? You're going to make kid, the kid dies. So what'd you do? What's the svara? So it's a fascinating svara. The Gemara says, Ein ben David ba, ad sheyichla kol haneshamos shebaguf. Mashiach only comes when all the neshamos are emptied out of the neshama box in Shemayim. There's a big box of neshamas, and every time you have a kid, another neshama comes down into this world. And once God like shakes out the whole bottom of the box, you know, oh, nothing left, Mashiach. That's when Mashiach comes. So the Gemara has a hava mina that the mitzvah to have children is a mitzvah to bring Mashiach.
Good.
A kid's here for a short amount of time before he dies, it's a neshama. You help bring Mashiach. The Gemara then rejects, says, no, the mitzvah is l'shevis yitzar, to populate the world, and if the kid's not here, he's not populating the world anymore, so you got to replenish. But one could have argued it's only about yichlak on neshamos, and your job is to bring two kids into this world. And every more kid you have after that, it's a greater kiyum mitzvah, but you already fulfilled your responsibility of bringing X number of neshamos into this world. Question is, l'maskanas ha-Gemara. That it's all about l'shevis yitzara. Does it mean it's all about l'shevis yitzara? And therefore, the idea of atchiyach l'kana shav shabaguf is ignored? We don't care about that? Or does it mean, no, we have a dual responsibility. We have to make sure we bring neshamos into this world. And we have to make sure l'shevis yitzara, that we're populating the world. My nafkamina, let's say I already have a boy and a girl. Do I have any further chiyuv to have children? So if it's purely midin l'shevis yitzara and I only have to populate the world with a boy and a girl, so maybe there's no chiyuv to have any more children. Or puravu, forget about l'shevis yitzara. It's a mitzvah, puravu, just to have a boy and a girl, so I already did puravu. If it's about ad sheyich l'kol l'sham shabaguf, yeah, I already did my minimum responsibility, but the more I do, the closer Mashiach is to coming. And even if it's about l'shevis yitzara, the more I do, the more the world is being populated. Well, let me give you a better example. I'm going to have 15 kids, but I can't really care for them because it's too much. Am I being mekayim anything by doing that? So they're all going to be misfits. They're all going to be, let's say, 50 kids. I don't know. I don't want to, like, I assume no one has 50 kids. So let's say, they're all going to be misfits, they're all going to, like, not, you know, I'm not going to be able to educate them, not going to be able to teach them, not going to be able, they're all going to be total misfits. But they're all neshamos. So midin l'shevis yitzara, I don't know, are they really enhancing the yishuv of the yishuv olam? Probably not, if they're all a bunch of misfits. But midin ad sheyich l'kol neshama shebaguf, it's 15 neshamas. So, why am I bringing this up in Bnei Bara Miriam Kibbanim? Before you leave, you had a question? Why am I bringing this up in Bnei Bara Miriam Kibbanim? I'm pretty much done here. But the reason I'm bringing Bnei Bara Miriam Kibbanim is the Gemara says, what if Rachman al son, a person's children die? Does he have to replenish them? Yes, unless they had children. Fascinating machlokas in the Rishonim. What does that mean unless they had children? Does it mean unless I have a male and female offspring in this world still? What if my daughter, not mine, what if a man lost his daughter, but his daughter had a son? So now he has one son and one grandson through his daughter. So he doesn't have a boy and a girl on this earth. He has two boys on this earth, one from his son, one from his daughter. Yeah, but for Puravu, we assume that replenishing that, we assume that's the mitzvah of Puravu. That the mitzvah of Puravu is fulfilled as long as you have grandchildren, as long as you have grandchildren, even after the children are gone. So
what if, like, what if somebody had a son and a daughter, and the son died and the daughter died?
Right. Same question in Rishon. So what you need to do when you learn through that Machlokes Yerushalmi is try to figure out fundamentally what the nature of the chiyuv of son and daughter is. Is it the experience of having brought into this world a son and a daughter, or is it leaving the world with an equal amount of boys and girls, or with representation of both boys and girls? All right, with that we'll close. Have a great day, everybody. Obviously a lot more to discuss here, but I think I'm ready to move on to the next sugya next week. Tomorrow, Rabbi Levin's giving shiur.